Breaking news tonight. 10 minutes of horror on a baseball field here in Virginia. A gunman opens fire on members of Congress, a House Republican leader among those shot in critical condition, and Capitol Police officers wounded and returning fire, being hailed as heroes, risking their lives in a terrifying gun battle caught on camera. Tonight, new clues to what may have motivated a killer to target Republican lawmakers. Also tonight, towering inferno, a rising toll as a high-rise goes up in flames, residents trapped, parents dropping their children out of windows to safety below. What sparked this enormous fire? And love of the game that brings Republicans and Democrats together, united. Nightly news begins right now.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, reporting tonight from Alexandria, Virginia.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. Thanks for being with us. The manicured suburban ball field behind me belies the violence and bloodshed that shattered this Alexandria, Virginia park barely 12 hours ago. A gunman, possibly with a political axe to grind, unleashed a vicious rifle attack on Republican members of Congress who were not engaged in politics, but instead practicing for a charity baseball game against Democrats. Witnesses describe an assault that lasted around 10 minutes, the shooter expending dozens of rounds before being wounded in an intense gun battle with police. Even just a short time ago, FBI evidence collection teams were working the outfield here, looking for bullet and shell fragments. Let's begin our coverage with NBC's Tom Costello.
Captured on cell phone video, the chilling moment that rapid gunfire broke out in Alexandria this morning.
Shots being fired, and there are people running, possibly victims involved.
An all-out gun battle. As Capitol Hill police and Alexandria officers engaged a lone gunman, 66-year-old James Hutchinson, targeting Republican members of Congress who were practicing for a charity baseball game.
We need medics. We got a suspect right by the baseball field in front of the YMCA. There's also a victim down in the baseball field.
Among the first to be hit, Republican whip Steve Scalise.
He's drug himself from the dirt infield to the grass outfield. There's a trail of blood. We can't help him. We're helpless. I mean, we've got bats versus rifle.
Scalise's security detail and the Capitol Hill Police immediately began. Return fire.
The gunman armed with a semi-automatic assault weapon and a handgun.
He was crouched behind a wooden piece of the stands, and he had a AK-47 in his hands. He was exchanging fire with police officers who were crouched behind a black SUV.
The six people injured include Congressman Scalise, Capitol Hill police officers David Bailey and Crystal Griner, Matt Micah, a lobbyist for Tyson's Foods, Zachary Barth, a congressional staffer, and Representative Williams, who twisted an ankle.
Two of the Capitol police were shot. One staffer who dove into the dugout with a leg wound, and we got somebody's belt and put it around there to stop the bleeding. So we were tending to him as well as trying to keep down away from the shooter.
Members of Congress said the gunman knew who was on the field.
An individual walked up and asked, hey, you know, those Republicans or Democrats? Jeff said they're Republicans. The guy kind of turned around and started walking towards the field. It was a little odd, but there was I didn't see any indication of violence or anything.
Big fat guy, probably 5'8", 5'10", had a T-shirt, shorts, had a long gun and a pistol.
After an intense gunfight that shot out the windows of the next-door YMCA, Hutchinson was shot and wounded. He died a few hours later at the hospital. Meanwhile, all five victims were rushed to area hospitals. Representative Scalise taken off the field by medics, a police officer taken out by chopper.
I never thought I would come to baseball practice for a game for charity, for local D.C. charities, and have to dodge bullets.
Representatives who normally don't have security details grateful for Capitol Hill police, who might not have been there had GOP whip Scalise not been on the field.
They probably saved our lives and the lives of a lot of other people because we were all sitting ducks, those of us who were in the dugout.
Tonight, the FBI is handing out this flyer to people in the neighborhood. It is of the suspect, James Hutchinson, asking for any information to phone in tips. In the meantime, it would certainly appear that this was a targeted assassination attempt on members of Congress. And, Lester, that goes to the very heart of the democracy. Back to you.
Tom Costello nearby here in Alexandria, thank you. The FBI is now probing into the gunman's past, trying to answer the key questions. What motivated him to target this field and these players? Our justice correspondent Pete Williams has been working his sources all day and brings us late details.
Police and federal agents descended on the suburban St. Louis home of James Hutchinson looking for clues about what led him to carry out the shooting. Having identified him quickly, they say, from the ID he was carrying. Age 66, a home inspector in Belleville, Illinois, who allowed his license to lapse last fall. His social media profile reveals someone who strongly disliked Republican policies and bitterly opposed President Trump. In March, he wrote on Facebook, "Trump has destroyed our democracy. It's time to destroy Trump and company." 2 days ago, he used obscenities to describe this week's White House cabinet meeting. And a year and a half ago, he wrote, "I hate Republicans and everything they stand for." A family member says Hutchinson was distraught over last year's election and had worked as a volunteer for the Bernie Sanders campaign.
"I am sickened by this despicable act. And let me be as clear as I can be. Violence of any kind is unacceptable in our society."
Hutchinson was a prolific letter writer to his local paper. In 2011, he described Republicans as, quote, full of hate. During 2011's Occupy Wall Street demonstrations, he talked to the St. Louis Fox affiliate.
"The 99% are getting pushed around, and the 1% are just not giving a damn."
The congressman from Hutchinson's district says he wrote or called the office 10 times, but never threatened.
"They were disagreeing in their with my position, but they were not any threats or any red flags that were sent up."
In late March, sheriff's deputies responded to calls from residents who said he was shooting in the woods near his Belleville house.
"We went over and talked to him. He was very nice, said, hey, I'll take it to a range somewhere that's safer. And that was the end of it."
Officials said he'd actually been in suburban Washington, D.C. for the past 6 weeks and frequented an Alexandria, Virginia YMCA that's directly across the street from the ballpark.
"It's probably been at least more than a month and a half, probably less than 2 months that when I first met him. I'd see him down in the locker room."
Back in Illinois, longtime friends say they were shocked to hear about today's shooting.
"He's always happy-go-lucky. It just took me by surprise when I saw it on the news today that he did what he did."
Tonight, investigators say they believe that Hutchinson was living out of his car, a white cargo van, since late March on the same street that the ballpark's on. But they're trying to figure out why he came to Washington in the first place and when and where he got the assault rifle that he used today. Lester?
All right, Pete Williams in Washington, thank you. And on Capitol Hill, a somber, surreal atmosphere in the hallways of congressional offices. It was there I caught up with Senator and former presidential candidate Rand Paul, who was in the batting cage when the first shots rang out.
You were in the batting cage at the time.
Yeah, I had just batted at home plate. I heard the rapid gunshots. There's a big, large oak tree right next to the batting cage. So I got behind the oak tree as the guy's shooting. Because I guess that's a difficult choice you don't think you're ever going to have to make. Do I stay or do I go? Do I stay and hope they miss me or think I'm dead? Or do I think that ultimately they're going to walk around shooting people?
Did you actually see him, or are you just seeing where the bullets are kicking out?
I'm seeing a blur of a blue shirt. I couldn't have identified him for where I was, but the shots were landing next to us, and we knew that he could shoot a long way from where he was. And so as we felt like he was changing his position, it's sort of like, well, who's going to bring him down? And at that point, we started hearing the Capitol Hill police return fire. And I truly believe if the Capitol Hill police had not been there, most people would have been killed.
And they wouldn't have been there had there not been leadership.
Yeah, the sort of the irony is, Congressman Scalise was the one who suffered. But had he not been there, his detail team wouldn't have been there either. It would have been a disaster.
How much now do you worry about not only your safety, but all the other members of both houses?
You know, my attitude changed a long time ago. It changed, when Gabby Gifford was shot. And I'm a believer in deterrence, that a uniform deterrence does help.
We've heard a lot of estimates as to how much firepower he brought. How long did the shooting go on?
I think it's one of those things when you're in the middle of it, you think it goes on hours, but it might have been under 10 minutes.
How do members of Congress go about their business? I mean, obviously you talk about deterrence, but part of your job is interacting with people, being right. accessible to your constituents.
It is, and I think the thing is that for the most part, people are well-meaning, and people come up to me all the time and say, well, I don't agree with you on a lot of things, but I'm glad you did this. I hope the game goes on tomorrow, and the game's one of the best bipartisan things we do in town. My dad used to say it was always the best thing. We joke around, we give each other a hard time, the game's sort of mock serious and mock fierce, and we do. We want to beat the other team, we really want to beat them, but there's a lot of collegiality, and it's also for a good cause.
Senator Rand Paul reflecting on today's tragedy. As you heard, the great divisions that permeate political life in Washington were put on hold today from the president to politicians on both sides of the aisle. Official Washington came together in shock over the attack and praise for those who responded. And now questions are beginning to emerge about whether the intense political climate played a role in this crime. White House correspondent Kristen Welker has more.
With a nation so deeply divided, today, rare unity.
We are strongest when we are unified.
The president is abandoning partisan rhetoric as he faces his first domestic crisis.
We may have our differences, but we do well in times like these to remember that everyone who serves in our nation's capital is here because, above all, they love our country.
In Congress, a bipartisan show of force.
One nation, under God, indivisible.
And an emotional rallying cry.
We will use this occasion as one that brings us together.
We are united in our shock. We are united in our anguish. An attack on one of us is an attack on all of us.
But after one of the most violent presidential campaigns in recent history, questions tonight about whether the entire country bears some responsibility for an atmosphere that's become increasingly heated.
This rhetoric that we see in today's society over policy differences has got to stop.
Now, a mass shooting once again hitting close to home for America's lawmakers. The last time a member of Congress was shot, 6 years ago, former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords targeted while meeting constituents in her Arizona district. Today saying it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, this shooting is an attack on all who serve. Giffords has become a proponent of tougher gun laws, and today others renewing that call.
This is not what today is about, but there are too many guns on the street.
It's another flashpoint in American politics with clear dividing lines. But today, those fractures forgotten.
While it's expected many will attend tomorrow's congressional baseball game out of support, an administration official says the president won't attend. The White House hasn't given a reason, but likely playing a role, it is very difficult to get the proper presidential security in place in such a short time. Lester.
All right, Kristen Welker at the White House, thank you. And as we were reporting on this story across the country, there was another shooting today. This one, a deadly attack at a UPS package delivery facility in San Francisco. Authorities say a UPS employee with an assault pistol opened fire in that facility and killed three employees before killing himself. We get more tonight from NBC's Gadi Schwartz.
Looks like he's in a UPS uniform.
In San Francisco, SWAT teams swarming behind UPS trucks.
Here in the building, two people are down. Unknown direction of the shooter.
Inside, an active shooter identified as Jimmy Lamb.
This is inside the UPS store. Still has his gun.
Investigators say Lamb, a UPS employee, showed up with two guns for a company meeting and opened fire, killing three, injuring two before being confronted by police and committing suicide.
This is a terrible tragedy. We recognize the impact this shooting is having on the city and UPS.
A flood of employees dressed in brown escorted to safety. Others on the roof, hands raised.
I heard seven or eight shots fired really quickly, like bang, 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 bang.
Neighbors like Raymond Ding had been watching news coverage of the shooting in Virginia when he heard gunfire.
News of one shooting interrupts news of another shooting. It's kind of ridiculous.
UPS releasing a statement saying their thoughts and prayers are with the victims. 350 employees work here. One of them, Maria Hernandez's daughter.
This is a place full of activity, just like any other job, and it could happen anywhere. But it happened here.
Families trying to shake the feeling of being so close to violence on a day of mass shootings on both sides of the nation. Gadi Schwartz, NBC News.
Still ahead tonight, a deadly inferno consumes a high-rise apartment building. Residents demanding to know how it spread so quickly. We'll be right back. Sadly, tonight, the toll is rising in London. 12 people are now dead, 74 others injured, including 18 critically, after a high-rise apartment building was engulfed in flames. Unbelievable images from the scene where investigators are now trying to figure out what sparked the fire that trapped so many people inside. NBC's Bill Neely has the latest from London.
A nighttime inferno.
Oh, my God, they're screaming.
Hundreds trapped inside. As a 24-story apartment building disintegrates, hundreds of firefighters battling to get them out. They signal desperately for help. Most had been asleep when the fire began at 1 in the morning.
Screaming, help, help. And now all those windows, people are gone.
They pleaded from the upper floors. But for many, help never arrived.
The fire just went and it just took them. There's no way they got out.
A nightmare caught on one neighbor's cell phone.
Yeah, there's a family, this kid.
One resident used a flashlight to send an SOS. Another tied sheets from a window as a firefighter closed in.
Oh, this guy, this hero.
And from inside, one woman filmed her terrifying ordeal.
Hello, come here.
A child was saved and a baby thrown by a woman from a ninth floor window.
Miraculously, the baby just dropped in a straight line and the guy just ran forward and the baby fell into his arms.
The building was recently renovated, badly, say residents, by a company that's defending its work. Firefighters are still inside recovering casualties, but then they will investigate residents' claims that there was no central fire alarm or sprinkler system, that this was a tragedy waiting to happen. The cause still unknown. The death toll, say police, bound to rise. Bill Neely, NBC News, London.
We're back in a moment with the intense manhunt and the big reward for those two escaped convicts still at large. That American student who was freed by North Korea arrived home in Ohio late last night, and he was immediately transferred to a hospital. His parents say Otto Warmbier has been in a coma since his trial more than a year ago. He was sentenced to 15 years in prison for trying to steal a propaganda banner. His parents will hold a news conference tomorrow. Elsewhere, we continue our verdict watch tonight of the Bill Cosby case. Still no decision from the jury room, though jurors did come back to the judge again today several times with questions on day three of the deliberations. In Georgia, two inmates who killed their guards and escaped from a prison bus remain on the run tonight after stealing a car behind that bus. Police say they stole a second vehicle, potentially giving them a big jump on authorities. After killing the guards, the inmates stole their pistols. The reward for their capture has been raised to $90,000. When we come back here tonight, team spirit, when left and right come together for the love of the game. Finally tonight, play ball. The game will go on tomorrow night between Democrats and Republicans, and for a good cause. It's an annual event in which members of Congress practice for weeks, like they were here this morning, and they put partisanship aside for charity and for the love of baseball. Here's Peter Alexander.
Where it happened couldn't have been more all-American, a ball field filled with those elected to serve, when that beautiful day for baseball turned grim. So striking, hours after the horror, all those lawmakers back at work, still in their ball caps and jerseys.
The true heroes of this event are the two Capitol Police that were part of Steve Scalise's details.
Texas Republican Joe Barton had been there this morning, not just as a manager, but as a dad.
My son Jack got under an SUV, and he was very brave. My other son Brad was in the batting cage, and he also was very brave.
For all the images, the memories we'll want to forget from today, there was one Speaker Paul Ryan said the House should keep.
Our Democratic colleagues gathered in prayer this morning after hearing the news.
Tomorrow they'll suit up again and play ball, just like they were practicing for, just like Congressman Scalise has loved doing for years.
We've decided that we're not going to let incidents like this change our way of life or our daily routines. We must play this baseball game. If we don't play this baseball game and we go home, then they win.
On the diamond at Nationals Park, the line between Republicans and Democrats will be erased. Peter Alexander, NBC News, Washington.
We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is nightly news for this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt reporting from Alexandria. For all of us at NBC News, thanks for watching and good night.